All right. So, as we are looking at the Old Testament and finding Jesus in the Old Testament, he is the main character of the Old Testament, really the main character of the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelations. And we've been talking about that, seeing his image in some very unique ways through some very unique people in the Word of God, actually encountering him. We're gonna see moments where there's actual encounters of Jesus throughout the Old Testament here, and it's just so important to see that every characteristic, every identification of who he is, every symbol of who he is that's mentioned in the New Testament in the Gospels has also been identified. We can find a direct correlation of that identification in the Old Testament as we see the picture of Christ in the Old Testament. So as we're wrapping up here today, I mean, there are lots of books that we still have to look at. And again, we could probably do this for weeks and weeks, but we're gonna pick out some highlights of the main story, some plot points, if you will, as we look at the next section, the last section that we're going through.
Yeah, so as Dina said, we're just gonna take a few verses today. And as I was praying about it this morning, I feel like there's something that we that can apply to all of us today. And it's not gonna be as much of a studying what the historical part of it, what we will, of course, but also for something for us to take, you know, and especially during the seasons we live in, during what the world we live in right now. So from the book of Jeremiah, from every book, we're gonna take one or not every book, from a couple of books, we're gonna take a couple of verses. We're gonna see how that can translate to our life right now. Okay. So in the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 23:6, it says, in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. And in John 13:13, Jesus is talking to the crowd and he said, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so. He's talking to the disciples, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. And oh, by the way, he only said that once when after he washed the disciples' feet. See, the book of Jeremiah was a book, it was a message that was sent to the Jews who were in exile. The people that were taken from the land of Israel, they were captured by the enemy and they were taken to Babylon. So you can imagine how they were feeling. You know, you can imagine the misery, not only that the enemy overcame them, not only that the enemy came and occupied their land and tore up the temple and broke and burned the city. Not only that, but now they are prisoners in the enemy's territory. So you can imagine how they feel. But honestly, if you and I look a little bit closer, you and I are living behind the enemy's line right now. You and I are living in a world right now that does not glorify God, that does not want to glorify God. And we are living in exile. If you look that, if you look closely at everything we see, everything around us, the laws that are being given, the society we're living in, I feel as Christians, we are living in exile as well, right? And this here, this word is for us that in his days, when he comes, when the Messiah comes, when even if sin is, even if we, the people of Israel, were living the consequences of sin, and we are living right now, sin surrounding us so easily. But you know what? God's still in control. Even when they were in exile, even when the Romans came during the time of Jesus, they weren't in exile away from the land, but they were in exile away from their traditions, away from their worship, away from so many things, right? Because the Romans came and who became in charge? The Romans are in charge. It's no longer the Israeli government. It's no longer their prophets. It's no longer the Israeli kings. No, they became in charge, right? So during that time when the people of Israel were in exile, during the time of Jesus, you know, when Jesus saved the Romans were in exile. And during this time that you and I are living in, believe it or not, we are not at home right now. Okay? And none of us should feel like we are at home. You look around, we are not at home. But the word of God is coming to you and coming to me today that there is a day. And as long as we are with God, that we have a savior and we have someone who will bring us to safety, and his name is the Lord our righteousness, the Lord our savior. So today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you during this time. I want to encourage you that God is still in control. That Jesus, the one who you and I worship, the one who died on the cross for us, even during this time that we're living in, even during this crazy time we're living in. Honestly, Dean and I were talking about it the other day, and we stopped following politics for a while because we felt like every time we look around, it's disappointing. It's very disappointing. And it's a clear picture that you and I are living here as foreigners. This is not our home. This is not our place. We're going to be involved. We're going to do our best. We're going to be a blessing to this world, but this is not our world. This is not where we belong. Amen. So I want to encourage you during this time that when you feel like you are a foreigner, when you feel like the whole world is against you, when you feel like you're in an exile, when you feel like there is nothing that's familiar to you, you're in a good place. You're in a good place because that will push you that there is only one place to go. And what is that place? To the arms of God. That's the only safety that you and I will have. That's the message that Jeremiah sent to the people of Israel. That's the message that Jesus preached when he came. That's the message that you and I need to hold on to now in our days. God is in control, but our safety and our salvation is only going to be found with God. Also, in Jeremiah 23:5, it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land." Okay, now Jeremiah is talking to them about, you know, now they lost their kings, they lost all power, they lost everything. But he is telling them that the days is coming, the day is coming, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that someone from the branch of David, from the lineage of David, will come up and he will reign, a king who will reign wisely, and he will do what is just and what is right in the land. You know, if you have been, you know, unfortunately, the people of Israel, when Jesus came, they missed it. Because they were waiting for a king to come and fight with the sword. They were waiting for a king to come and get rid of the Romans, you know. But the problem was not the Romans. The problem, because how many times they had kings that delivered them and they went right back and sinned against God, and they were delivered again and sinned against God, and they were delivered again and sinned against God. So the problem isn't for the warrior who's going to come fight the enemies for them. The problem is they needed someone to save them from themselves, someone to save them from sin, the sin that keeps bringing them back to the same point over and over and over. The point of sinning, the point of going against God's will, and the point is that they are going with their own feet to the enemy's territory, right? So he is telling them here that the day is coming. There is a king that we are waiting for. You know, you and I have been waiting for something to happen, right? You and I can have situations, and we are waiting for God to come and save. And let's just pay attention, because the people of Israel were waiting and waiting and waiting, and the salvation was right in front of them. He was among them. He was speaking to them. He was touching them. He was talking to them, and they missed it because they had different expectation. You know, my prayer that for you and I would not miss God, because he could be, today you could be coming to this meeting, I could be coming to this meeting with so many things in our minds, so many things on our hearts, right? And God could be speaking directly to that, but we are missing it because we are thinking the solution or the answer is in something else, or the solution or the answer is coming from somewhere else. Jeremiah is telling them and declaring that there will be a king who will come, who will reign wisely. And this, the word wisely here is so, so important because it takes us back to, okay, how is that king going to reign? What is he going to do? The first order, what is he going to do in his first 100 days? Is he going to get rid of the Romans? Is he going to get rid of the Persians? Is he going to get rid of the Egyptians? No, he's going to get rid of your sins, because that's the problem. Is he going to get rid of my debt? Is he going to put the kids to school? Is he going to get rid of my neighbor? Is he going to get rid of my boss? No. He's going to get rid of your sin, because that's the problem. Because you can deal with all of these things. All of these things, even if they're hard, and they could be extremely hard, you can take it with joy. You can take that a training session for you. Mm-hmm. You can take that as God's anointed, you know, work to get you stronger and to get you closer to him. So you are in the right place if you are waiting for the king. You are in the right place. You have the right mindset. Today, we just need to open our eyes that the salvation that's coming to us, coming from Jesus, as he gets rid of our sins and brings us closer to the Father. The Messiah also, in Jeremiah 23, the same verse that we read, he would be our righteousness. You look at these verses that I just shared right now, and you say, well, this sounds really good, but I'm a sinful human being. You know, I have sinned over and over and over, and I don't deserve any of that. Well, here is the word of God to you. In Jeremiah again, the days are 23:5. The days are coming. Where did it go? Here it is. 23:6. In his days, Judah will be safe, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says this: it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Mm-hmm. What is he telling us here? Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at yourself and look at your Savior. Jeremiah was preaching that long, long time ago. Jesus came and preached that. Paul here, after Jesus died and resurrected, preaching the same thing, that our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption does not come from us. It comes from Jesus Christ. It comes because of the work that he has done on the cross. So that message of the Messiah, our righteousness, it was offered to those who were in exile. It was offered to the people who were living during Jesus' time, during the times of the Romans. And the same thing is offered to you and me today, that we need to stop looking at ourselves and we need to be clothed with Jesus, because he is our righteousness. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see, what's the book? Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a quick couple of verses in Jeremiah. In Ezekiel, it tells us about the Messiah. It confirms again that the Messiah will be the son of David. And this is significant. In Ezekiel 34:23, it says, I will place over them one shepherd. Okay, one shepherd. Listen to this. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. How is Ezekiel saying that I will place over them my servant David? And David was gone for a long time ago, right? For a long time. And he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. The Lord will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. The Lord have spoken. First, when you read the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1, you will see that he is coming as a descendant of Jesus. But when you read the Gospels, what is one of the names that the Lord Jesus gave to himself? I am what? I am the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd, that he will, you know, give himself for his sheep. He's coming to take care of us. Ezekiel also was speaking to people who are under distress. He's speaking to people that are lost in the wilderness of sin, lost between the nations, lost between the fighting and the struggles and the no direction. I mean, it was a disastrous time during that time. So he's speaking to people that are lost and hurt. You know, Jesus comes very much in the same place. He is speaking to people that are lost, that are hurt, without direction, without a true leader, without someone that can comfort them, without someone can feed them, without someone that, you know, the political power during the time of Jesus were the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were very much more interested in fighting against each other than actually helping the people, right? They showed their power by, you know, opposing each other and making the other party look wrong. Does that sound familiar? You know, any really, does that sound familiar? I am not here to serve the people that voted for me. I'm not here to serve the people that help electing me. I am here to show how horrible the other party is. That's my full-time job. My full-time job is to show how horrible the other senator is, or the other party is. That's my full-time job. But people are hurting. People are hungry. People are desperate. People are jobless. People are hopeless. Do you even care about that? No, that's not what they cared about. What they cared about is that to prove that they're right, that to prove that the other party is wrong, and that's all they cared about. In Ezekiel, God sees that his people are struggling with that. God sees that his people are lost. You know, they're lost between so many ideologies. They're lost between so many parties. They're lost between so many, attackers. They're lost. They're so lost, and they need a shepherd. And that's the word of the Lord. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. You know, David, why was David chosen by God to reign over Israel? He had the heart that was after God, the heart of the shepherd, the heart that will take his sheep or his flock to the still waters, the heart that will take them to the green pastures, the heart that will fight the lion and the bear and they will fight with them, the heart that will stay up to protect them. That's the heart of the shepherd. And if you read the Gospels, you will see how Jesus was protecting his flock. And if you look at the church, if you look at your life and my life, as we have been lost, as we have been struggling, as we have been the subject of interest, not because people cared about us, but more because people cared to use us to enforce their powers and to show how powerful they are. But there is a shepherd, and the shepherd is among us right now. The shepherd is here, and he's victorious. He beat the lion for us. He beat that roaring lion for us. He beat that vicious bear for us. And today, he is interested only in leading us and directing us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, quickly, we'll move into Daniel. Thanks.
7:20.
Okay, we'll move into Daniel really quick. And we will hear in Daniel, this is a little bit rich, and I can really spend weeks and weeks here, but just a couple of things, and we will send it to you, trusting that you will go to these verses and you will study it at home as well. In Daniel 7, this is very this is very good. It talks about the Messiah being having the everlasting kingdom. Okay, and this is very important for you and I. In Daniel 7:13, it says, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was giving authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion and will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed.
Amen.
Who was he talking about right now? He's talking about Jesus. Good job. Remember from last year, if you don't know the answer, just say Jesus. You're 99% right. In Luke 1:31, the angel speaking to Mary, he tells her this: you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Almost same exact words. How Daniel, remember, Daniel, when he was receiving this vision, he is seeing, like, imagine this with me. Give me your attention just for a second. Daniel is seeing God, he the Father, he's seeing Jesus, he's seeing an everlasting kingdom. The visions that God is giving him, he is seeing all these things. While in the physical, where was Daniel at that time? Do you guys know? Daniel was part of the exile. But Daniel was part of the people that were taken into Babylon. He was living at the king's palace. He was one of his assistants. He's one of his assistants or ministers. He was surrounded everywhere by pagan. Is that the word? Gods and things and, like, you know, those gaudy things. That's what he was surrounded with. But God was able to take him out of all of that and show him what the real kingdom looks like.
Amen.
See, you and I, again, are surrounded. Remember what we talked about just a few minutes ago? And I want to keep encouraging you with this. We are surrounded by things that are not godly. Okay? This is the world we live in. But if we have that vision from God of Jesus, we know that we don't belong to this world. We know that the real control, the real power, the real sovereignty isn't to the Congress or the president or this or that. The real power and real sovereignty belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. Daniel, if you go back to chapter 2, Daniel had a previous vision. What was that vision? He had a vision of that statue, and the statue had different type of materials. Until there is a stone that came and destroyed that statue. And he gives us the explanation of that statue, that there will be many kingdoms, and all these kingdoms what will happen to them? Will be destroyed. So Daniel already knows that no matter what kingdom is going to come, what will happen to it? Will be destroyed. Except one kingdom that comes, that stone that destroys everything. So Daniel already knows that you can be gold, you can be bronze, you can be metal, you can be whatever it is you want to be. You can call yourself whatever it is you want to call it. There is only one everlasting kingdom. There is only one everlasting king. There is only one everlasting law or book that will remain forever, and that is the word of God. So Daniel is encouraging us here to look beyond what our physical eyes are seeing, you know? And if Daniel was able to do it, again, if Daniel was able to do it, you and I can do it. Let's today focus on Jesus. Let's today be part of every nation or all nations and every tongue that will confess, that will declare and will worship that his dominion is everlasting. Amen?
Amen.
And also, let's go back a little bit. And you have something?
Yeah.
Go.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, go.
Yeah. a great piece of Daniel that we can't skip by is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm-hmm.
Rakshak and Benny, as VeggieTales calls them. That's how I remember them. My kids loved Rakshak and Benny. And if you watched the stories of Rakshak and Beni, you'll know that they were asked to bow down before the great idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had instituted to be worshipped. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not going to do that. Remember, they were in exile in Babylon as well, and they weren't going to do that. But the problem was that the punishment for not doing this was death. And they made a decision that their faith in God and the God of Israel was going to save them if that was his will. And if not, then so be it. They would die for their faith. And Rakshak and Beni are then, sorry, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are then put into, do you remember the fiery furnace? And we pick it up here in verse, in Daniel, here it is, sorry. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that were tied up in there and thrown into the fire? And they replied, certainly, Your Majesty. And he said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. I mean, one of the most chilling stories, I think, in God's word. It really never gets old. This man who is a pagan king, really evil by all accounts, recognized that this was Jesus in the fire. I mean, it's really extraordinary here. And these men are in the face of the most extraordinary bit of fire. They say that when the furnace was open, when the guards were taking them into the furnace, they died at the entrance of the furnace because the fire was so intense. And here is our image of Jesus in Daniel, a true figure that they saw. This wasn't just prophecy about the Son of God. This was him there with them in the fire. And really so much application that we can take into our own life. I mean, how God is with us during the most difficult times, during the times where we are facing persecution or the times where we're facing, crisis in our life, that the Son of God is walking with you during those moments is such an important thing for you to grab hold of as a believer, that God is able. Sorry, we have a visitor here. All right. Sorry.
She brought me water. I'm
That's
thirsty.
right. You have children so that they can bring things when anyway. So I mean, really just such a testament of faith, of their faith, of their courage. And then God shows up when we make decisions for the Lord, he comes through. He just does. I've experienced it over and over in my life. I'm sure you have too, but it's such a great reminder for us that that is what we're expecting, what we should be expecting.
So from the book of Daniel, just a couple of things really quick that reference to Jesus is that he is the everlasting king. No matter what it looks like right now, no matter what it looks like, who's in control and who's not, we have an everlasting king, and
Amen.
that's Jesus. And things could go really bad as being thrown into the fiery furnace. Doesn't mean that he's going to take the fire away. It doesn't mean that you and I will walk through the fire, will be thrown into the fire every now and then. But guess what? It's not going to help. It's not going to burn us. He will be there waiting for us. He will change things around just like he came and made Peter walk on water. You and I can go through that fiery furnace as well. Really quick, we're going to go through the one thing in the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, it shows us the faithfulness of God regardless of our unfaithfulness. There is a verse in the Bible in the New Testament that says he will remain faithful even if we are unfaithful. In Hosea verse 3, it says, the Lord said to Hosea, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adult and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So what God is telling Hosea here, what the reference was showing, what the reference to Jesus is, that yes, I know that you were not faithful. I know that you don't deserve it. I know that you went over after our other gods. I know that you didn't obey me. I know that you cheated on me. I know, but you know what? I'm going to remain faithful. I will not be able to deny myself. I'm not going to deny myself. That means I'm not going to change who I am. God cannot change who he is. He cannot change his nature. His nature is love. His nature is holiness. His nature is forgiveness. He cannot change that. You know, so he's going to come, keep coming after you, even if you're like the Hosea's wife. That lived, even though he bought her for a very precious price, even though that she left him and he went after her, even though she was not faithful. And a lot of us can think of each other, of ourselves that way. You know, I don't deserve God's love. I don't deserve God's love. That's fine. That's fine. But you know what? He thinks you deserve his love. He thinks that you are worth dying on the cross for.
You know, there are just so many things. I know we're running out of time, so we're just going to go through a couple more. In the book of Habakkuk, I don't know, it's one of those, right? it's a small book in the Bible, but there's actually a great book that was written about this book called Hinds Feet on High Places. And it references some of the visions that he has through this book. Really, Habakkuk was a great evangelist. He was really crying out for revival. And he was in a place where he was struck by why Israel was punished by Babylon of all nations. I mean, it really like took him back. The response that God had for that was difficult for him to handle. But you know what? He had this incredible way of being able to look at God's everlasting power and believe and have faith in what he'd already knew about God. And so because of that, really was an intercessor. Really came to God for the people of God, really came on his knees for the people of God. And that's an image of what Jesus has done, what Jesus did. He came in on our behalf when we didn't deserve it, when we were in the midst of, heading towards hell, and interceded on our behalf. And Habakkuk was really, he was so troubled by what was happening to the people of God that it prompted his intercession to heaven. So that's Habakkuk. And then also there's lots in the other books as well, but in Zechariah, there's just something I really wanted to make sure we touched on here. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it says this, and I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Israel a spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for the firstborn. Now, in John 19, it says, instead of Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. So it's just really interesting here how the prophets are not just talking about Jesus coming. They're talking about Jesus coming, Jesus dying and how he would die, and then Jesus reigning forever as in the kingdom of heaven as the Almighty God. I mean, it really takes it all the way through. And so I just think this is very important for us as believers, as we're in Christmas. Sometimes I feel like a lot of believers are very reluctant to speak about the cross during Christmas. And it was just really encouraging. Someone and I were taking a walk through our neighborhood a few nights ago, and there was this house that had, I'm not kidding, the most massive lit up cross I've ever seen. It was probably, I don't know, 13 feet or something, 13, 14 feet, huge lit cross right underneath all of these beautiful Christmas decorations. And like we walked by it and I was like, oh yeah, I know what they're talking about, you know, because really speaking only of baby Jesus is only half of the story. And you're kind of missing the climax, right? The most important part of it, which is Jesus came, he died on the cross, he was resurrected, and he did it for you and I. And that was the reason why he came to begin with. So it's so important that as we read things in Zechariah and as we read in Isaiah about not only him being here, but how he would die, how he would have to die in order to atone for our mess, for the mess that we made, he had to come and do that. So let's remember that through this Christmas season. Let's remember that it's only part of the story that there was baby Jesus, because there was a cross at the end of that story. And it's really critical for us to remember that piece of it.
Yeah. To sum it up really quick, in Jeremiah, it's talking to us about God will be God, the Messiah will be God, even if we're in exile, even if we are living in a foreign place, even if we are looking around and seeing that this is not where we belong, that is correct. But the Messiah is still God. God's still God no matter where we are. He still will save us. He still will have our safety. That we have our salvation coming from the right place. We've been looking at it for so long. The full God and full man. Someone who knows your weaknesses, someone who knows what you're going through and what I am going through, someone who will be experiencing the things that you and I will experience except without sin. And then also the righteousness is coming from him. I am not going to look at myself anymore. I'm not going to look at my sins or my iniquities. I'm going to look for him for his righteousness. And Book of Ezekiel, it tells us again that he is the descendant of David, who is the shepherd that's coming to tend to us. You and I are, again, in a foreign land, and it's so easy to get lost. Mm-hmm. We need someone to take our hands. We need someone to walk with us. Mm-hmm. We need someone to direct us, to guide us, to protect us. We need someone to help us in this wilderness, to take us, to bring us to the still waters and the green pastures. Amen. And only the Son of God and Amen. Jesus Christ can do that. In Daniel, really quick, we are looking and trying to wonder who is going to be in power, who is going to be next president or next this. No, we have an everlasting king. Kingdoms will come and go. Kings and presidents will come and go. But there is one that will remain everlasting. There is one constitution that will remain everlasting, and that's the word of God. There is only one king that every nation, every tongue, every knee will bow to him, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So don't let the political scene or what's happening in the world worry you. Just like we don't look at what's happening around us. And remember, Daniel was surrounded by nothing but foreigners, like, you know, the country where he's at, where he's working, very much he did not belong, right? But he kept his eyes on the everlasting God. Mm-hmm. You and I can get that same vision, and God can show us where what it's the real kingdom is today. Also, as Dina said, yeah, we can go through the fiery furnace. We can put through it. That doesn't mean it's to end us. It's actually to begin our story, to begin a new chapter, to begin a new season, because he is already there. God will remain faithful. We saw that in Hosea. And God will remain faithful even if we are unfaithful. That's it?
Yeah.
And now it's time for comments, questions, or prayers. While I take a sip of water.
You know, as you were going through the book of Ezekiel and talking about the shepherd who provides direction for the lost, I was reminded of Psalm 78, verse 72. It says, so he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands.
That's good.
Which I thought would fit perfectly with this particular description.
Yes.
He does things with precision. He does things with excellence. He does things with integrity and just the skill of his hands. And so to know that the precision that he made the world with, that same precision he's using in my life and in our lives.
Man. That's really good. Anyone else have anything to add or?
Genesis 1, the first couple of verses says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. And then God decided, no, I need to put this in order. Let there be light. Let there be division between water and land. Let there be this and this and this. And God came and formed everything and made it all in a perfect way. And when I hear this, I often pray, Lord, there is a lot of darkness here. There is a lot of formless and empty things over here. Things are just all over the place, you know? Things are empty. Things are full of things that shouldn't be full of. Just like you came and you said, let there be light. And it started with the light. And then you came and you put some divisions and you put some things in order. I want to have that order again in my life. So just like you created this, you can come and do your work in my life as well.
Amen. All right, everyone. Well, unless there's something else, we'll call this one a wrap. And I think we are taking next week off, just giving everybody some time to unwind after the massive busyness that you will experience in the next few days. Hang on to your seats, because it's coming fast. So we just want to thank you guys. And we, Sam and I were talking about this today. We seem to talk about it often. It's just really the gift that this Bible study has been to us. We've drawn closer as a couple. We've drawn closer individually to the Lord, just in preparing for this and then in sharing it with you all. And so we just want to thank you for being the faithful boxes that show up. And yeah. All right. So let's
Really quick, any word on the people we prayed for last week, Pastor Guillermo, and
any updates? Yeah.
He's still in the hospital, as far as I know. I haven't talked to her in a couple of days. So I'll reach out again and
okay.
See how they're doing.
Soraya.
I do have, and I wasn't going to ask for prayer, but I do. All my tests that they did, it came out positive for my hands for
arthritis,
rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm. Yeah, and hands are getting really, really abnormal. He's saving money. He can't buy me rings no more. Nothing fits me. Yeah. So,
painful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very painful to the point that I drop things when I hold them. And, you know, I'm a mom. I got cook and clean.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm being referred to a rheumatologist. And, but I'm just praying that the Lord is going to do a miracle. And if I don't want surgeries because I already had two already done before. So I'm just believing that the Lord could do a miracle. If not, it will be just medication that would not change my life. So, yeah. But
we'll keep praying for that.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
And also Sandra and Marcelo, they wanted me to let you know that they have family over from Chile, so they're visiting their daughters, and so that's why they're not joined these 2 weeks. But they'll come back. Yeah.
Send them our best.
Tell them we miss
them. Wish them a Merry Christmas for us.
All right. And thank you for everything you do for the teaching. And hopefully we'll continue doing Zoom next year.
Yes, that is the plan. We'll announce a new book or
very
new
soon.
Study before the new year. So looking Wonderful. Forward.
Yeah.
Dalia, you want to pray for us? And pray for Soraya?
Yeah, pray for Soraya and Pastor Guillermo. Yeah.
Thank you.
God, your word says, if two or three agree together in my name, touching anything, that it will be done. God, you said, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed and command the mountain to be moved, it shall be moved and be cast into the sea. God, you give us so much in depth of your heart, and through your word and through the gospels, we see who you are, that you're a God of compassion and a God who's so tender and so kind. When blind Bartimaeus called out to you, your word tells us that you stopped and you looked upon him. The world tried to hush him, but you heard his cry. People came to you and you looked upon the sea of people and your heart was broken because they were those without a shepherd. And your word tells us that you touched and you healed all who were sick. Your word also tells us that all who came to you, those who touched you, you made well. There isn't one that reached out to you that you rejected or turned away empty. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change. God, we believe. We believe in who you are. We believe in the power of the cross. We believe that you are God Almighty. God, we come before you expecting, not that we deserve anything, but you paid the price on the cross, God. You paid, and your word tells us that you are the great physician, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, our best friend, the one who knows us from the inside out and calls us by name. And you said, when you're weary and weighed down, come to me, I will give you rest. God, this is your word and this is your promise. And together we stand, Father, together we stand before you. And I thank you for my sister. Thank you for Soraya, and I thank you for her faith, God. And thank you for the opportunity that you give us, that we can stand together as one on her behalf. And thank you for the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, Father. You said it in Jesus' name, as we speak your name, demons tremble. And so we take authority in the name of Jesus, and we speak life over her now. Every just pain in her body, I command it to bow. God, I come against arthritis. I come against this sickness in the name of Jesus. And I speak your healing, virtuous power now flow through her body. Together we stand as one believing, Father, and we declare healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, for every other person, God, we pray for Guillermo and every other person that needs a touch from you. Together we stand, Father, daring to believe in the power of your holy name. And we thank you for your healing. We thank you for your touch. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love for us. And God, we just wait for you with a heart of expectancy. And we thank you for the work of the cross. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Amen.